I feel like the Lord's been talking to me a little bit about this subject still, about walking with God, and this is the sixth in a series of different aspects of walking with the Lord. I want us to remember something as we go along and study, that this is a live walk. This is a live life. This is not a set of rules that we've picked up or an idea or a God that we have fashioned out and began to worship. But this is God, the God of heaven and earth that made all things and that walks with men when they will. The idea of us being, of our relationship with the Lord being so different than just a religion is great. And I hope we grasp that concept that the Lord wants to talk to us. And He wants to lead us in life. And He wants to guide us. When we come before God, many times it is at a great sacrifice to ourself. Because self and its ambitions will never stand in the presence of God. So there must be a sacrifice made. We don't offer sacrifices in the same way that they offered them in the Old Testament times, when for the sin of their soul, they tried to offer up animals and burn them with burnt offerings and cut their throat and bleed them and all the things, sprinkle blood and all those things in that way. But we have a sacrifice that's been made for the sin of our souls. So we look now to the Lord, and we come before Him in humility of heart and mind, knowing who we are, that we're not very big in His sight, although He loves us dearly. And so when we come to Him like that, I believe the Lord wants to visit with us. So we want to look at a couple of things this morning, a few scriptures. In Micah 6, 7 and 8, the first thing we want to start with is this. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What about it? Will He be pleased with that? This was even written during Old Testament times. And the prophet goes on to say, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? You know, the Lord longs for our hearts to do something that it cannot do when it's trying to buy its way or pay its way He said, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? We could never approach God that way, but because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can. He made that sacrifice for us. So we're not talking about that kind of sacrifice this morning. But there are still sacrifices, and we'll read some scriptures later. There's sacrifices that in the New Testament that speaks of one that says it's a sacrifice that is acceptable. That sweet savor. Anyway, we'll read it in a little bit. There are sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord that we give that crosses our flesh sometimes that are really valuable to the Lord. And He takes great pleasure in those things this morning. So I want to challenge us one more place before we read a little here about Abraham's life. Psalms 116 and 12 to 17, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Let me get it here. Psalm 116 and 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, that's really what the Lord wants. He wants us to call upon Him, and He wants to be a very real presence in our life. That's what he really wants to be. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He looks at it a little different than we do, doesn't he? O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And so we want to look now a little bit farther. In Genesis 22, I know this was the time before the Ten Commandments came. It was a different time than now. I don't believe God would ever ask someone in today's world to do what he asked Abraham to do here in this way. But in Genesis 22 and 1, I'm going to read this, a lot of it. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. That word tempt does not mean that he tempted him to do evil. But when you look at that, God tried him. He proved him. He put him to the test a little bit here. And so he purified him even. That's what that tried means. And so it's part of it. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, I don't know about you, but I will tell you that would stagger our faith, wouldn't it? And yet God spoke to Abraham. Now, Abraham wasn't guessing if God spoke to him. Abraham knew God spoke to him, and he knew what God wanted him to do. And so I want to keep that in mind. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, Abraham believed God. God had given him promises concerning this son. And so when he told them this, that's major. Because he said, we're going to go worship the Lord and we're coming back. Because he knew that God had given him promises concerning this son. But Abraham believed God. And so he obeyed God. And God told him, I want you to go to this mountain and I want you to sacrifice your son. Then on the, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the knife in his hand. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, you know, we marvel at Abraham's faith, don't we? We are guided, in fact, by his faith. He had enough faith that he was willing to obey God at the thing, to give up the thing that was probably most precious in his life. You know, Abraham obeyed God. And the Lord said, because you have obeyed me, I'm going to bless you. And blessing, I'm going to bless you. And in multiplying, I'm going to multiply thy seed. And so, Abraham received here something who else in the world has ever received a promise like this? And yet God began to work with Abraham's seed from there on. We today, by faith, are Abraham's seed, aren't we? And so this morning, I want us to think about the whole idea of walking with God and allowing Him to call for things in our life and us having enough faith to lay our life down for His cause. Now, we in our minds would probably think, most of us here, if they came for my life, there's no way I'd give up my Christianity. There's no way I would give up God. But, you know, they're not going to call for most of our lives like that, as far as our blood. But I'll tell you, God's going to call for some things today. And if we only look at the cost, and we only look, how can I pay this? How could I give up my son? The Lord made me promises about my son. There's no way I could give my son up. Or maybe He hadn't made promises about our son. Or whatever the Lord would touch in our life, of ourself and of our own, who we are. You know, the Lord is sometimes going to come along, and for our benefit, He will touch us. For our benefit, He will touch things in our life, and He will call for a sacrifice. And many times it hurts deep sometimes. Sometimes it is our very feelings. It is our very right. It is our very, this is mine. This is my right. This is the way it needs to be. And I think Abraham could have pled that. But you know, he gave up to God all his rights. He gave up to God all that God had told him. And he gave that to the Lord. You know, this morning, I really believe the Lord wants to touch our lives too. He wants to bless us in ways that He's never been able to bless us before. And had Abraham withheld, I could never believe that the Lord would have given him this promise. Because He told him, because you've obeyed me, I'm going to do these great things in your posterity. And gave him that promise. This morning, I want to read to you a little, I'll just tell you who this testimony was, because she told me I could. And I called her because I remembered she had told me about this. And I said, I want to use this if I can. And so I wrote it down and read it back to her, and she agreed. That's the way it was. So, Sister Maxine Busby, before she was called to the ministry, that she felt the call upon her life and upon her heart. Before that time, she was in an altar, she was in a healing service at Monarch, 1987. She said during that healing service, during when the altar call came for people, I guess, to be prayed for or whatever, the Lord spoke to her, and so I'm going to read it so I get it just right. Because to me, this so clearly demonstrates what we have, our life, if we will live for the Lord in a real way, with real life in our heart and soul, more than just picking up the Bible and reading a little now and then, but God working with us, God calling us, us responding in obedience to Him, us listening to what He has to say, I will tell you, the Lord wants to work in our lives. And so she said during an altar service or right about that time, the Lord spoke to her and said, you want to be liked, and my ministers are not always liked. And you will compromise the truth in order to be liked. As soon as he said it, I knew it was the truth. It was a death I had to die. I went down to the far east end at Monarch. It was healing service. And wept until I was literally sick and prayed all the way through the healing service. I was finally able to crucify that desire. I didn't realize I had a weakness like that. You know, we don't realize the things that the Lord wants to bestow upon us. We don't realize the weaknesses that we have many times. If we did, we would change sometimes. But the Lord has to reveal those things to us. And so He saw her in her situation, and He said, you'll compromise the truth. She knew His call was upon her, but she hadn't told, I don't think she told anybody or hardly anybody at that time. And so she wept. She said, if I remember, she said she could just, there was just a word or two she could say. She couldn't even tell them what she was praying about. And she kept weeping and praying. You know what? Sometimes when the Lord reaches down and He touches our life somewhere, that's the time, folks. It's real. God of heaven is very real and wants to be very real in our life. Now, if we hold Him at a distance and we only let Him work where we want Him to work, then we'll never find the places God wants to take us. And He'll never be able to work in our lives like He wants to. And so He begins to see us where we are. And in different services and at different times, He will speak to you and me. And He's done that to me. Right during a service or something, the Lord put his finger on something. And, you know, sometimes it's eye-opening. Okay, Lord, you know, our proper response to the Lord's dealings. We're not talking about something here where we're like, Lord, I'm feeling some kind of conviction. I don't know what it is. She said the Lord spoke to her, and she knew immediately when He spoke to her that it was Him. And she said she knew what He said. And so she went down and realized that's true. It is true what the Lord said, and began to weep and pray. I want to encourage us today that the Lord God wants to give us victories in our lives. He doesn't want to point out things to crush us or to bring us to low, but He wants to help us to be able to go to a higher place in Him. She could never go to that higher place as long as she would compromise the truth for somebody to like her. She had to give that desire up out of her heart. They don't have to like me. I will do all that I must do for you, Lord. And you know, when we do that and we give those things up, I want to read the rest of the story to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but I feel like it's good enough for us that it's worth hearing this morning. She said, as I walked back to my seat, the Lord spoke to me and said, be prayed for your arthritis. And you know, she had arthritis, and she said she had it really bad. She had arthritis before she had her terrible wreck that took her daughter. But after that, it just spread all through her body. And she said when she got up in the mornings, she was, she compared herself to Sister Dora Doolittle, and many of us knew her. She said, in the mornings when I got up, that's the way I walked. That's the way I felt. And it took her a while, I guess, to get limbered up. But you know, the Lord saw all of that. And I bring this story to us for this reason, because I found it to be so. When the Lord talks to us, there is a great reward that He gives to you and me as we are obedient and we sacrifice ourselves, our desires, our wants, our whatever it is that the Lord calls for. In Abraham's case, it was his son. And yet he said, "Lord, sure." And when we do that, God can begin to work. And so she talked about her arthritis, and this is what she said happened. The Lord healed her completely within the next week of that arthritis that she had had. Sister Penny Pinner cleaned houses, and she had never called me before to help her, and I couldn't say no. I went and was suffering, but I didn't let her know. On the first day, the Lord spoke to me the words, "Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus and claim the healing power of God." Now, you know, folks, it's a real walk with the God of heaven. We're not talking about picking up a set of rules here that this is the way that I live because others live that way and the Lord blesses them. We're talking about walking with the God of heaven. Him talking to us. Him dealing with us, Him telling us things, Him leading our lives. Now, does every day do we feel like the Lord gives us some certain amazing inspiration? No. Many days it's not that way, but I will tell you, through our life, the Lord wants to work with us and talk with us. And so, she said, and the Lord was working with her here. Ever since she responded to Him telling her, "You need to go to the altar and give this thing up." I've never seen a time when we give anything up to the Lord that we don't get 10 times back what we gave up. On the first day, the Lord spoke to me the words, "Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus and claim the healing power of God." I went around all day saying those words. I went home sick, but I didn't go to bed sick after fixing the evening meal. She felt better. The second day, she called me. I went and helped her on another house, and I said the same words. "I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, and I claim the healing power of God." I did not go home sick the second day. The third day she called me, and I went again, and it was a harder job than the other two, and I said the same words. "I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, and I claim the healing power of God." On the third day, the Lord spoke to me at the end of my job. The Lord said, "Anything you get by faith, you must resist the devil." When the Lord spoke it to me, I was healed instantly. I knew I was healed. The enemy contested it and tried to bring back the symptoms, and I rebuked the devil, and I'm still healed today. That was yet last night that I spoke to her about that. It was 1987 when that happened. And she told me some other things too. But you know, there was a still small voice from heaven, from God, that told her, "Be prayed." How did it say it exactly? Be prayed for your arthritis. She said that's the exact words the Lord said. Be prayed for your arthritis. When we walk with the Lord, folks, we might give some things up, but I firmly believe He pays back far more than we ever give up. And so, we're not talking about something where we're looking to say, "Oh, what can I give up? What can I offer in sacrifice to the Lord?" The Lord called for this, and she knew it. You know, when the Lord begins to deal with us, and if we won't back up, and if we'll say yes to the Lord in all His dealings, I believe He will be to us the God that He promised to be in every way. He will fight our battles. He will go before us and behind us. He will heal us when we need healed. And He'll take us home when He's ready to take us home. The God of heaven wants to walk with us, folks. And it's a real walk with Him. And when as we walk with Him, we are walking with Him as He works with us. As He speaks to us. As He deals with our lives this morning. I want to encourage us today. Get used to giving up what we want and dying out to self when the Lord calls for it. Get used to it. When the Lord tells us that self, and we recognize that self, then maybe it's our time to go down and weep and pray. Maybe it's our time to get with someone else and weep and pray until we can't weep anymore hardly. Until the Lord changes something in our life.
Yes, amen.
Do we believe that this morning? I hope we do. Because I know it's true. I know it to be true. The Lord wants to give to us far more. And I say far more than we ever could give to Him. In John, the 12th chapter, Jesus tells us something here of this nature. 12 and 23 to 26, He says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.'" Jesus is illustrating this very point that we've been talking about this morning. That He said, when you place a seed in the ground, if it will be placed in the ground, and if it will be germinated, it brings forth much fruit. Now, it loses its identity. It loses who it was. It loses that corn or corn of wheat, it loses that husk that it had. But soon, very soon, we see a little something sprouting up, don't we? And He said here, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I want to encourage us this morning that we concentrate our belief on this. That whatever we die to, or whatever we give to the Lord, brings forth far more. Far more than what we gave. And Jesus said it here, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And He was talking here in part about His own death and resurrection. And what has it given to the world? Who could have ever imagined the disciples right there with Him, hearing His teachings day in and day out. And yet they could have never imagined that the Lord, that what happened was going to happen. They just saw that He died. It's the end of the way. Folks, that's our humanity. And sometimes we think that. Sometimes we feel like, well, if it's the end of the way for me, then. No, it's not the end of the way. We're talking about the God of heaven. If He calls for it, it's not the end of the way. If He calls for it, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of blessings. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What a blessing. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know how He does that? By blessing. He honors us by His presence. He honors us by His touch. By the things that He does. He honored Sister Maxine's death to herself by giving her her healing. He doesn't always do that, but many times, sometimes He does. I had the very same kind of thing happen. And you know, sometimes it is in our death that life begins to bloom forth. Who could imagine the inspiration and the blessing that the Lord wants to pour out? Who could imagine the call that He wants to give to us here? This morning, we don't know. Let's just allow ourselves to be given to the Lord. We all know the scripture in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what is sacrifice are we talking about today? I thought the day of sacrifices was over. And yet, Paul tells us here that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I will tell you what we as people are prone to do. We are prone to try to buy our way through things or make deals some way to where, you know, well, I'll give my time here. I'll give my money there. I'll do this. I'll. But the Lord, He isn't looking for that unless He's calling for that in our life. And He does call for our time and our goods. But you know, this morning, what He really wants is us to present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice in our life. Lord, this is yours now. This is yours. I've let you have it. I'm taking my hands off and I'm giving myself to you to do your will. All the things that I know of that are not your will, all the things that you require, I will do. You know, I believe that works. We're dealing with the God of heaven. He's not a man like us. He doesn't have to come and make deals with us, does He? He comes to us and He talks to us. And He's a great God and He's very respectful of us. If we say I'm going to hold on to that, He'll let us hold on. And we are the losers when we do that. And so this morning, I want us to think about walking with the Lord today. Don't we know that the Lord wants to give us His goods? I'll never forget Brother Marty talking about that table that's spread. I think he said something about going all the way to the back of the chapel and back down or something. In my mind, that's the way I saw it. I saw these tables all the way down, all the way back, all filled up with all this good stuff. Don't we know that that's what the God of heaven has for us? I believe that this morning. I hope you do too. Because if we don't believe that, we're never going to be able to give ourselves to the Lord fully. And so, let's offer to Him Psalms 116 and 17. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, this morning, let's offer those things to the Lord. Let's offer to Him instead of our resentment to Him asking for something. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving because of my faith in God, because I believe in who He is this morning. And will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord longs for people to walk with Him and call upon His name. All through the early generations there, we have Adam and then Seth and Abel and Cain. And we know those stories. But you know, the Lord longed for people to walk with Him. And He found Noah in the midst of a world that was completely full of wickedness. People's hearts wicked continuously. And He found Noah there. Oh, this morning, I just want to challenge us today to allow the Lord to work in our life and our heart. We're talking about dealing with God, not dealing so much with me or anybody else, but dealing with God and allowing God to work in our life and to speak to us and to call for things and to call things out in our life and to call for us to come forward or to find our place of prayer and seeking the Lord until we get the victory. Yes. Until we die to ourselves, and then we can live, folks. Yes, amen. And so he says, the psalmist says, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I know there was a literal sacrifice of thanksgiving back there, but it was also the fruit of their lips, giving thanks unto the Lord. And Hebrews 13 and 15, we're told, by Him, therefore, I'm going to get that. Hebrews 13 and 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so as we go through life and we meet all the things that we meet in life and we see all the things that we see and sometimes things don't go just the way we want it to. And all of the, you know what the Lord's calling for? Believe me. Believe that I'm there. Believe that I'll work Come into my presence with thanksgiving. Offer to me the sacrifices of thanksgiving, the fruit of your lips giving thanks to my name. A few other scriptures here. Remember Psalms 51. Remember David. I hadn't thought of this, but David in Psalms 51, he had been a terrible failure. Done so many things, murder, everything else in there. But he said, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." David knew. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." He knew where his transgression was, and he knew where he needed to go. And he knew that he wasn't able to buy his way out of it. There wasn't anything he could do, but he could humble his heart. He could have a broken and a contrite spirit over it. He could fall before God upon his mercy. Say, "Lord, have mercy on me." And David did that. And the Lord blessed David. So this morning, Samuel told Saul, he said, to obey is better. It's better than sacrifice. The Lord's calling for some sacrifices from us today. But it's not something we don't know. It's something He deals with us about. And He's asking us not to go our way and forget His dealings, but to find the grace of God in our lives, to find those places in Him that are pleasant, that we can come together and speak of the wonderful works of the Lord, as we do on Wednesday nights. I will tell you, I love that time with us folks. We come together. I love those times. Paul told, who was it here? Philippians 4 and 18. He said, "I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." But I want to notice the verse that follows this, where Paul went right on and said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you know that what we give up, Paul said, what you've given, and Paul was evidently in need, and he said, "What you've given to me," he said, "it's an odor of a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable." But he went on to say, "But you know what? God's going to take care of all your need." Do you know this morning that when we do what we know God wants us to do, not what we think in our own minds, this is what I'm going to do to please God and this is the way I'm going to do it. But folks, when we seek the Lord and He begins to work in our life, and we see His clear dealings with us, and we do that, and we have to give some things up when we do that, I want to tell you, the blessing that God gives, He'll take care of all the rest. He'll take care of supplying all of our needs, all of our emotional needs, all of the things that we thought, I need help myself. You know what? Sometimes the Lord says, "I want you to go encourage that one." Well, I don't feel encouraged. Go encourage that one. I will tell you, many times I have experienced that. I remember when we first back in the 80s, I guess, and there was somebody that kept having spiritual troubles, and I kept going, and I was awkward, and I didn't already know what to say, and I was like, "Lord," I didn't want to go, but the Lord wanted me to go and visit this person and help him. And you know that each time that I went, I started realizing, I came back with a little piece of God's peace and glory in my soul. Now, I want to tell you something. When we give up our way to do God's way, it's like that. the Lord's payment is more than we could ask for. And what He bestows upon those that walk with Him. Folks, you don't walk with God, the God of heaven, without getting a little piece of who He is. The Lord bless each one of us today, that we might be inspired to just follow Him. Yes. And when He deals with us, just yield to Him. And when He deals with us about something that we've got to really die to, die. Go ahead and die. It's okay. Because that's where the seed's going to start living. You pray for me too.